And we can turn it around if America will just get its head out of the foxhole. That's one of the things we just heard from Bob Inglis, a six-term Republican congressman from South Carolina who was just voted out by a Tea Partier in 2010. And, of course, he represents a small but growing group of legislators, representatives who are truly leading on climate change, but they're finding it difficult when they stick their head above ground, out of the hole, because they're getting shot down by all the conservatives who don't want to acknowledge climate change is reality or that there is a role in government for doing something about it. And one of the problems is there has not been enough muscle behind this environmental and specifically climate movement, and to demand that our current president and all candidates for high office say we are, you know, acknowledging we've got a problem and we have to deal with it, and the government needs to, you know, we need to have some policies that will begin to turn the ship around. So one of the efforts to help build that movement is focused on the youth vote, and very pleased to have with me in this next segment someone who is organizing that effort. Whit Jones is with Energy Action, and they have been part of PowerShift, something we've covered every couple of years, gathering concerned youth in Washington, D.C., and there's a new initiative out, and I'm pleased to have Whit Jones joining me to tell us all about it. Welcome to the Green Front.
Thank you so much for having me, Betsy.
So, Whit, tell us, have you had your PowerShift gathering this summer yet?
We haven't had it this year. PowerShift occurs every 2 years. So we had it in the spring of 2011 and are gearing up for 2013.
Okay, I couldn't keep track, but I remember it seems like just yesterday you were there in Washington, D.C. There were some very powerful, pardon the pun, presentations there. Bill McKibben, of course, was one of them. Not that he's youthful, but he is energetic, our fearless leader on the climate fight now that Al Gore's left the stage. And he deserves a break because he certainly, you know, got us motivated, activated, lit the fire under us. But, of course, we have a lot of work ahead. And tell us, what is your focus in terms of organizing the young people of America who are inheriting this problem to really see the issues, you know, in real terms, and demand that our leadership see things in terms that will be, you know, going forward, not backward?
Yeah, sure. So moving into this fall and the election cycle, young people on campuses and communities across the country will be launching the Power Vote campaign, which is a campaign to demand our candidates and politicians lead on clean energy and climate. You know, as you probably know, big oil and special interest groups like the Koch brothers and Chamber of Commerce are planning on spending millions of dollars to sway these elections. So we're organizing this massive nonpartisan campaign to call on candidates across the aisle to stop taking this dirty money, stop being corrupted, and start leading on climate and energy.
And you held a concert to announce the launch of this last month, I think?
Yeah, so we launched the campaign at Bonnaroo, the largest festival in the country, over 80,000 young people in Tennessee. Thousands of people signed up and got on board, signing a pledge that come this November they'll be prioritizing climate and energy and committing to participate in the campaign over the course of the fall. We got great reception there, not only from young people, but from artists and musicians, with big artists signing on to support our efforts moving forward.
And as campaign director of Energy Action Coalition, are you seeing that this message is really beginning to resonate with youth? Because there was just recently a study showing that Generation X, Y, Z, I can't keep up.
We're but, Generation Y.
Y, okay.
Millennials, yeah.
Generation Y is not as concerned about climate change as you might think. Are you familiar with that research, which was really kind of disappointing because we, you know, baby boomers, although I'm not one of them who thinks we should just dump the problem onto you, I think we, especially if we're going to live to 110, you know, should be doing our part over the next decades to begin to turn the ship around. But many people think that, oh, you know, young people understand it and they're going to solve it, you know, or along with technology. And yet this research shows that maybe because it's just too overwhelming, especially with all the other problems we have going on globally, economically, with wars, with Syria, you know, I don't envy youth today. And yet this is something that just cannot afford to be ignored.
Yeah. The millennial generation is absolutely committed to addressing this issue. And, when, you know, we hope that we have the support of the baby boomers and generations before us. But, you know, poll after poll shows that young people are very concerned about this. And, you know, across the country, if you visit a college campus, climate and energy, you know, is at the top of the discussion with lots of students organizing around it. So I have no doubt that, you know, come this fall, young people will be turning out for clean energy, supporting candidates that are strong on the issues, and supporting some important ballot initiatives across the country, too.
Do you see an opportunity in this crisis, Whit, where jobs can be created because of the need to make, you know, transition across the board, really, in the way America operates, from how we build, what we drive, you know, what we eat, just, you know, consciousness raising, how we elect representatives, to really empower youth who are otherwise being pretty discouraged by the job market? When I have spoken to college campuses on occasion, you know, in the last couple of years, I say, well, the silver or green lining in this cloud is that I'm not going to say there's green jobs out there, go get them, but there's opportunities to create if you look at where we are now, just ecologically and politically, and where we need to be sustainable. And you young people, I'm sure, hope to have children and grandchildren and thriving, you know, communities and lives and livelihoods. You certainly deserve that, not to mention generations to follow. You know, can there be opportunity in this crisis in terms of getting, you know, people to be really creative about what's needed and implementing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, green jobs are out there, and young people are interested in them and interested in using their, you know, incredible entrepreneurial abilities to create more. You know, just kind of in, you know, the youth world and in the college sector, we've seen thousands of positions created to help colleges and universities go green. And a lot of the students who are involved in those efforts are now out there creating businesses, you know, to advance solar or wind or energy efficiency. And so, you know, it is a hard job market out there for young people. We're, you know, going to continue to demand our elected official support policies that create green jobs, but we're also not waiting. You know, young people are out there, you know, getting to work. And trying to create, you know, their own opportunity in their own backyards.
And while I'm sure you're supporting Obama, I'm sure you also agree that his administration certainly must do more in the second term.
Yeah, we absolutely need President Obama's leadership on climate and energy. You know, the best science says that by 2015 we have to peak and reduce emissions globally, and we are far from achieving that goal. And President Obama has a second administration to bring that to reality. So what we hope to do over the course of this fall with the Power Vote campaign is show a lot of demand and force our candidates and elected officials to be stronger on these issues, so that as we move into 2013, we can reignite the movement.
And are you there? Oh. Here, we lost him. Well, let's see if we can get him back on. I was just going to mention, you know, if we ever do get a Green Tea Party off the ground, that we would like to join forces with this youth vote, because it's exactly the message we're trying to get out there, just for any age group, for any demographic, and that's demanding that our candidates have environmental issues and challenges and crises on their minds and actions, and that we, you know, can begin to hear about this in their, you know, stump talks, in their campaigns, in their campaigning across America, and that, you know, mainstream news media covers this aspect. This is what's been missing, and that's, you know, it's a real spiraling downward cycle, in that many Americans who perhaps are undecided or, you know, yet to be swayed, independents, are not sure about what they're going to vote for, but they think, gee, if there was really a climate crisis, wouldn't I hear legislators and candidates talking about this? Well, no, or mainstream media talking about this. Of course, we are finally starting to see the meteorologists connect the dots. All the major networks, as we mentioned last week, are finally doing stories on, could this be global warming, all this extreme heat and fires and droughts and flooding and everything you don't want to see. It's exactly what climate scientists have been predicting. So we, you know, are beginning to see that, but I think it's a teachable moment for the country and the world to say this is an opportunity to connect the dots and move forward quickly. Whit, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm back with you. Sorry about that, Betsy.
That's okay. Don't know what happened, but while you were away, I was just mentioning a few of us have been talking about the need for a green tea party, which is really just a kind of also angry group of people, but angry about the exact opposite rather than everything but climate change. That's our primary focus, to say, you know, green issues must be front and center, especially climate change in this next election.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that's the plan. A lot of us young people are planning on moving forward into the election. We have to get bigger and we have to get louder. And, you know, I heard you speaking about the wildfires and the extreme weather now. You know, this is a perfect opportunity to wake up our country and elected officials to the crisis on our hands. The first presidential debate actually is in Denver, Colorado, a state, you know, that's been ravaged by wildfires, and last winter, you know, saw record low snowfalls. So we think that a combination of, you know, these unfortunate occurrences with a lot of people power can bring this issue back into the political discussion.
And one of the ways I think we can bring, you know, the issue forward and connect the dots, you know, is to say to people who either, quote, don't believe it or don't want to address climate change now because of the economy, we're worried about jobs, as if we can just, you know, deal with one issue at a time, and as if the economy and the environment are not intricately, intimately interwoven and our, you know, future fate tied up in all that. When I see people who don't make the connections to the extreme weather who are most affected by them, I just want to say, well, what if this is climate change? You know, what if this is the beginning of, you know, what's going to only worsen if we continue to ignore the problem? Would you be a, quote, believer, which is a strange term to talk about accepting science, but, you know, would you be concerned if you could just for a moment suspend your disbelief and doubt and say, maybe this is what scientists have been predicting, would that change your position? Because a lot of these people, ironically, I have a friend from high school on Facebook who had to evacuate her home in Colorado, one of thousands who did. Her home was spared, but some on her street were not. And I was kind of appalled when I saw them complaining that Obama was going to be coming to town a couple of Fridays ago, was going to interrupt traffic, you know, make traffic worse. And they were, you know, saying they were for Romney and, you know, booing Obama. And I said, don't you realize, first of all, Romney is all for cutting the firefighting force across America, you know, less government and all that. And secondly, he doesn't, quote, believe in climate change. What if this is just that, you know, effect, you know, or at least worsened by, you know, increased temperatures around the globe? And I didn't get a response, not surprisingly. But just wondered about your thoughts on that, about the importance of really putting those connections out there in a way, and especially to, you know, beyond the choir, beyond the converted.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really important to draw those connections with the weather. You know, I think another way to hit people is to draw the connections between our challenges addressing climate change with our challenges fixing the economy or healthcare or, you know, any number of issues that people across America are rightfully concerned about. And that is that, you know, millions of dollars are being poured into these elections by these special interest groups that are setting our country back. You know, it's the Koch brothers who have been, you know, union busting in Wisconsin, you know, fighting financial reform, fighting back against the health care bill. And, you know, people are, you know, rightfully upset about the state of our political system and our economy. And I think, you know, as much as we do need to use this weather to shake people up, we also need to connect it, connect the dots, you know, behind, you know, what's happening in our country. And that's that these special interest groups with their millions of dollars are trying to hijack our elections and our political systems for their own profit, you know. And so I think if we can, you know, both touch on the weather piece, but also connect to people, you know, around the issues that they care about, whether it's the economy or healthcare, we'll have a much bigger choir out there demanding, you know, progressive change on climate and these whole other host of issues.
And I imagine that Power Vote is also going to be involved in any protests against Keystone and perhaps be part of this weekend's frack attack.
Yeah, we will absolutely be out at Stop the Frack Attack and are continuing the fight against Keystone XL. You know, President Obama and his State Department have to take into consideration climate, you know, whenever considering this pipeline, and we got to fight the southern segment of the pipeline, which unfortunately is still moving along. Young people down in Texas, along with community groups, are planning direct actions throughout this summer, and Energy Action Coalition and Power Vote will be right there by their side.
Well, I'm so glad to know what you're doing, artists and activists and youth in general launching this Power Vote campaign. And you're focused on 8 key states, and is that where there's, sort of swing votes at stake?
It's where we've seen strategic opportunities to mobilize. So, you know, in Michigan, there's a really important measure on the ballot to expand Michigan's renewable portfolio standard. So we want to make sure we're there and fighting for that. And in other places, it's fighting back against the tax. So in Pennsylvania, unfortunately, they've been successful in passing voter ID legislation, which is going to make it much more challenging for young people and people of color to get to the polls this November. Our campaign plans to be there to help mobilize and support people along the way.
And if Al Gore and Bill McKibben is my generation's leaders on climate change, who are you seeing really step up in your generation to mobilize the young masses?
You know,
around
we have
energy
some,
issues.
Yeah, you know, Bill McKibben has been a huge inspiration for the youth movement. And now, you know, there are new young emerging leaders across the country. Not only are there these direct actions planned in Texas this summer called the Tar Sands Blockade, but we're also seeing leadership and direct action in West Virginia around mountaintop removal, in Montana around coal exports. You know, we don't have one particular figurehead, but we're seeing incredible leadership emerge from every corner of the country. And, you know, young people are inspired by their peers. So I know that it's only going to continue to grow.
Well, thank you for all that you're doing, and we support you, and we'll amplify your efforts because, again, you are the first generation to be, you know, inheriting this, having it dumped on you, and you certainly won't be the last, but you really represent a transition, you know, demographic to really, you know, treat this in a way that my fellow baby boomers have not, I'm ashamed to say, again, but I'm not giving up on the moms and dads out there because I think we parents do have a direct investment in our, you know, kids' future. And so together, perhaps we can turn this around, as our theme song says. And I just want to thank you for joining me.
Yep, we're all in this together, and thanks for having me, Betsy.
That is Whit Jones with the wonderful group, the Youth Vote Energy Action folks, and we will be hearing more from them and seeing them, especially this weekend at the frack attack in Washington, D.C. We are going to be covering that, hoping to get my friend Lisa Bardak on the show. She does some brilliant eco-comedy. I call her an eco-median. In particular, she works with Barbie dolls and does some great videos you can see on YouTube about fracking. So we hope to have her on the show. Another great one being planned for you for next week. In the meantime, have a great green week and stay cool, stay dry. But don't forget, there could be a connection between the weather, which everyone's talking about, and what we can do about it, which we need to talk more about and do more about. Thanks to the staff back at PRN in New York for making this a great show. See you next time.